This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, In Pursuit of Happiness.
Last week we read a portion of the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, and one of the last things that was listed there was all of the rights reserved to us people who are in this country. And one of those rights was the right to the pursuit of happiness. Imagine a government, a country, where you are guaranteed the right to pursue your own happiness. No tyrant, no oppressive government, but you can pursue happiness. Why is that such a difficult quest? Why is it so elusive to us? Why is it so difficult for so many? The Harris poll said that one-third of Americans say they are very happy. Only one-third of people say they are very happy. What makes for a happy life? Researchers conclude that happiness correlates with age, health, marital status, personal income, spirituality, and attitude. We're going to cover a lot of that this morning. Happiness is defined this way. A feeling of great pleasure and contentment, generally because of a particular event. Something has to make us happy. Somebody has to make us happy. I got to tell you something. Nobody can make you happy. It's in you. Joy is a state of well-being that marks one's life regardless of circumstance. It doesn't take much to knock us off the sands of happiness, but it takes a bulldozer to move you from a state of joy. It's so easy for us to roll out of a happy feeling. Non-believers have a quest for happiness, and its underpinnings are a number of false premises. Consequently, happiness eludes people who don't have any connection to God. They attempt to find happiness without God. They attempt to find happiness believing that it's limited to this life. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we may die. It's just about the here and now. It's not about what happens after you're gone. But we see the whole picture. Joy here and joy home in heaven. They find that it's to believe that happiness is something that is going to be around for a long time. It's not the case. They believe that happiness is short-lived. It leaves them kind of jaded. I mean, every time we think we get something that's going to make us happy, we find out that it doesn't last very long. I mean, I got a new car. I'm still pretty happy with it. But how long is that going to last before I get jaded? And so we get to the place where we need something new or newer. We need something big or bigger. We need something that's really good or better. We want the best. And when we get all of those things under our belt, what do we find out? It isn't working. That can't do it for a protracted period of time. And so some people believe that happiness can be derived from wealth, fame, power, pleasure. But as we turn on our TV sets, and we look around, what do we see? The news tells us that those famous people, those wealthy people, those people known by everybody, don't seem to be all that happy. In fact, they're so unhappy that they try to bury that unhappiness in drug and alcohol abuse, satisfying the flesh. It isn't working. Let's employ the words happiness, joy, and blessing interchangeably as the scripture speaks to us of God's prescriptions for a happy life. So let me share with you six of those ingredients. Number one, true happiness is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. It really begins with God. Deuteronomy 33:29 says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord. C.S. Lewis said this, God cannot give us happiness apart from himself because there is no such thing. And Blaise Pascal, who was a mathematician and a scientist, said this, if man is not made for God, why is he happy only in God? You know, God wants you to be happy, but God knows that unless you find peace with Him, you'll never find peace within yourself. If it all starts in here, something's got to get in here to unearth it. Well, I don't know any other entity that abides inside another human being except the Holy Spirit. He brings with Him the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those fruit is joy. So folks, can I tell you, joy, it's in here already if the Holy Spirit is in you already. You've got to release it. You've got to allow that joy to permeate itself outside of you and work inside of you. You have enough God-gifted joy within you to fill all your todays and all your tomorrows. Are you a happy Christian? I remember as a kid we used to sing a song, I am so happy and here's the reason why, Jesus took my burdens all away. Hey, now I am singing as the days, and so forth. Are you happy that you're a believer in Jesus Christ? That can't be taken away. There is a root of joy within your heart because you have Christ in your heart. Psalm 144, verse 15 says, yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And if we're happy, we ought to be a singing people and a praising people. People should be able to read that Jesus is in us in our interactions with them. I mean, you can't always have a smile. You can't always be ebullient. You can't always be up. But generally speaking, do you see that joy in the person with whom you come in contact? Number two, happiness comes from helping others. Proverbs 14:21, he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. There's a lot of impoverished people in our lives. There are people with whom you come in contact with every day. They're lonely. They're depressed. They're distressed. They're poor of spirit. It's not just about financial poorness or neediness. There's a emptiness inside people that can only be filled in one way. It can only be filled by the indwelling Holy Spirit. There's a place inside of us that needs God. And we try to fill that empty place without God with stuff. And stuff doesn't satisfy. It just clogs up your arteries. There's a wonderful story about Jimmy Durante, one of the great entertainers of a few generations ago. He was asked to be part of a show for World War II veterans. He told them his schedule was very busy and he could only afford a few minutes. But if they wouldn't mind his doing one short monologue and immediately leaving for his next appointment, he would come. Of course, the show's director agreed happily. But when Jimmy got on stage, something interesting happened. He went through the short monologue and then stayed. The applause grew louder and louder and he kept staying. Pretty soon he had been on 15, 20, 30 minutes. Ha-cha-cha. Finally, he took the last bow and left the stage. Backstage, someone asked him, I thought you were only going to be on for a few minutes. What happened? Jimmy answered, I did have to go. But I can show you the reason I stayed. Does that sound like him or Nixon? You can see for yourself if you look at the front row. In the front row were two men, each of whom had lost an arm in the war. One had lost his right arm, and the other had lost his left. Together they were able to clap, and that's exactly what they were doing, loudly and cheerfully. That would encourage you. That would encourage me. Ecclesiastes 3:12 says, I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. That's one of the reasons God made you. He made you to bring goodness to the people around you. He made you to be a powerful and positive influence in the lives of others, not someone to drag down people, someone to lift up people. You have Christ in your heart. Unhappiness comes when we are prisoners of our own negative attitudes and thought processes. It's easy to sink into the bogs of despair. In those times, God whispers to us of the cross Jesus carried through the streets of Jerusalem. You remember the story. You remember the account in this book of Jesus had already been beaten. He'd been spit upon. And now he had to carry this heavy object through the streets. Carry your own instrument of death. And he trudged his way, bleeding and hurting, through the streets of Jerusalem. And at some point, the cross became too heavy for him. And he fell. But then something happened. A man from North Africa was pulled from the crowd, and his black hands lifted the cross off Jesus' back and placed it on his own. And then they began to walk. That man has been immortalized in the pages of Scripture. His name was Simon of Cyrene, and we speak his name today 2,000 years later. You see, the little acts of kindness that we perform in Jesus' name have eternal consequences. Whose cross have you helped lift today? Whose frown have you tried to help turn into a smile? Whose burden did you help support today? God's watching. God's keeping count. God knows. Others may not know, but God does. And someday, those things will go before him, and he'll look upon you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Number three, happiness is doing God's will, following God's plan. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. You will find God's will by studying God's textbook. His will is in here. It's in the book. But his plan is something else. And so many people confuse those two. God's will is evident. But God's plan is revealed to you from day to day. Where will I go to work? Who will I marry? Who will be my friends? God's will, for all of that's in the book. You can read it. But God's plan for your life, he reveals day by day, and when you look back, you know it. God's plan for your life will be revealed to you tomorrow and the day after. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And Psalm 1:3 says this, "And he, the blessed man, the man who's following God's plan and God's will, the happy man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The Lord's trees are evergreens. The Lord's trees are evergreens. No winter's cold can destroy their freshness. They are made to be fragrant and to endure harshest times. Their needle-rich boughs are their fruit. When we blossom and bloom where God has planted us, we are given an opportunity to bring forth fruit for Jesus. Where you are, you don't have to be sent to a foreign country to be a missionary. The back doors say you are now entering the mission field. There are hurting and needy people out beyond these doors. And I got news for you. If we're totally honest, there are hurting and needy people inside the box. Nobody's exempt. It's just a question of it's your turn or not. When we allow our testimony to show forth, its fragrance goes wherever you go. The author, Rita Snowden, tells of her visit to a small town near Dover, England. She was having tea in the late afternoon when she became aware of an unbelievably pleasant scent filling the air. She asked the waiter the source of the scent, and he told her that it came from the people passing by. He explained to her that they worked in a perfume factory down the street and were on their way home. When they left the factory, they carried with them the fragrance that had permeated the clothes during their day's work. And so it is with a born-again, Bible-believing Christian who steps out of his or her comfort zone to reach out to others. True happiness is found when we go outside ourselves. When we go into the world with the fragrance of the Lord, and that fragrance goes with us. And all the people we pass experience something of the fragrance of the Lord through us. Are you sweetening the lives of the people in your sphere of influence this morning? Are they being blessed by the fragrance of the compassion of Jesus? Number four, happiness is being in God's word every day. The Bible is a happy book. Amen? The Bible's a happy book. Jesus was a happy person. I mean, in effect, his three-year ministry was a party. He was blessing people. He was healing people. He was touching people. He was giving them the be happy attitudes. He was speaking words of encouragement. He was speaking peace into their life. He was speaking joy into their life. He was giving them the secrets of life. And they were being blessed by it. Psalm 1:2. But his delight, that's the blessed person. His delight, happiness, blessing, joy is in the law, the Bible. And in his law does he meditate day and night. When was the last time you opened God's word and meditated on it? How long has it been? Here's an interesting article I just picked up. Israel, My Glory, September, October 2017, the magazine, an editorial by Chris Katulka, getting back to basics. Listen to what he says and take it to heart. A survey taken this year reveals that almost 80% of American households own a Bible, and 81% believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. But for 53% of these Americans, that's not enough reason to pick it up and read it. To make matters worse, only 3% of teenagers read the Bible daily. 3%. It's not finished yet. Years ago, researchers George Gallup, you remember George Gallup? He's been in this church on a number of occasions. Not anymore. He's home with the Lord. Years ago, researchers George Gallup and Jim Castelli concluded, quote, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it, end quote. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. What happens when Christians don't read the Bible? They lose God's perspective, God's point of view, and adopt a worldview and a perspective all their own. Biblical illiteracy is profoundly affecting the church and the way it views the core tenets of the faith. The Lifeway Research Survey discovered that 1 in 5 evangelical Christians believe that there are multiple ways to get to heaven. 20% of people who call themselves Christians. The scripture clearly teaches the only way to heaven is through Christ Jesus. Major doctrinal issues concerning salvation in Christ alone, the Trinity, God's plan for Israel, become less substantive when the Bible becomes less important in a Christian's life. Another symptom of biblical illiteracy is the moral deterioration in both home and society. Of those surveyed, 81% believe America is in a steady moral decline. The scriptures once anchored us to home and to society. But as more and more people know less and less about God's word, the biblical worldview fades, supplanted by personal opinion. The result, the death of right and wrong. It's time to go back to square one. Amen? It's scary. The treasure of happiness and blessing found in the Bible can only be found by those who dig for it. Are you digging for it? Number 5, happiness is found in fellowship with God and the church. 1 John chapter 1, 3, 4, and 7. Let's stand together and read that together. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 7. That which we have seen and heard, what did I say? 1:3 to 1 John. Oh, okay, sit down. You have just John, right? Just John. Imagine the nerve of him. Well, here's 1 John. Let me read it to you. Hey, this is live, not Memorex, if you even know what I'm talking about. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Christ Jesus. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with God and the church is another source of happiness. Fellowship with God and his church. That word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia. It means to share with others, associate, companion, partaker, partner, family. We are a family. As families break down today, the family of the church becomes so much more important. Fellowship is more than getting together, more than sitting together. Fellowship with Christ and the body of Christ, the church is about a relationship with Christ and a community and a way of life. Fellowship with the church is not an elective in our course of study. It is a requirement of a normal and balanced Christian life. You cannot do this by yourself. To be a Christian off by yourself without these brothers and these sisters to help you, to lift you, to encourage you, without your hearing of the word week after week in your own personal study, you can't make it by yourself. The power of the world, the power of Satan's influence is just too strong for any one of us. That's why we need all of us and more. You cannot be happy or have a happy life by yourself alone. Christians are not lone rangers. Behind every believer stands another believer. Someone wrote, quote, Satan watches for those ships who sail without a convoy. You can't do this all by yourself. The Bible knows nothing, John Wesley wrote, the Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. A life without God and brothers and sisters in Christ is a void that can never be filled. People try that formula every day and find nothing is happier than the church at its best. Amen? And there is no substitute for fellowship with Jesus Christ and His church body. Number six, happiness is a choice. Happiness is a choice. So many times we are on our own worst enemies. We make ourselves miserable, and then we hope it will rub off on other people around us. I knew people when I was in the business world, it was they could not wait to get to work and make other people miserable. Oy vey. Psalm 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. The choice to pursue happiness and finding it has many rewards. Proverbs 15:15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. In other words, this joy that God wants to give you, he wants to give you in abundance. He wants to strengthen that joy within you to help you get through the obstacles of life. There's two ways to do it. You can go through horrible times and come out bitter or better. It's up to you. God will get you through it. We hear it, we know it, but we don't put it in practice. We hear it, we know it, we've heard it so many times before, but then to pull the trigger and let it be alive in my circumstance, that's another matter again. Looking on the dark side of life, seeing only the flaws, the negative, the wrong, the ugly, tasting only the bitter, flows from an unhappy heart and mind. God is in the heart and mind adjustment business. Amen? And he tells us in Ephesians 4:23-24, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The meaning of the word renewed is to change the course of life's flow in a different direction. God wants to change the course of your life's flow. You may have this reputation in your life, but it doesn't mean it can't change. It doesn't mean that negative attitudes can't become positive attitudes. You're giving up. There's no reason to give up. You got God on your side. Life is either beautiful or dismal, filled with joy or despair. In what direction does the stream of your thinking flow? I'm always looking out and seeing bad things. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to look at the flaws in people's lives and live by that. I don't want to live in the past filled with discouragement. I don't want to live believing that my shortcomings can't be changed. I don't want to live believing that this is it. I've got no place to grow. But I don't mean that way. I mean, I don't want to think that I'm trapped in my own negative or stereotypical or confining or constraining. I don't want to put God in a box, and I don't want to put myself in that box either. I want to believe that there are growing edges. I could do better with God's help. I'm not going to be content with what I am. Mighty rivers of despair can be redirected and flow into lakes and reservoirs of joy and blessing and happiness. It all depends on you with God's help. Attitude is the mind's paintbrush. It can color any situation. And so my question for you this morning is, what color will you choose to paint today? Bright pastels, dark and dreary earth tones. 10 thoughts for today. Choose to love rather than hate. Choose to smile rather than frown. Choose to build rather than destroy. Choose to persevere rather than quit. Choose to praise rather than gossip. Choose to heal rather than wound. Choose to give rather than grasp. Choose to act rather than delay. Choose to forgive rather than curse. Choose to pray rather than be in despair. Happiness is contagious. Be a carrier and spread a little joy today in the lives of the people with whom you contact today. Amen? Amen. I'm going to be watching you all day. You keep watching me all day too, all right? Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.